Oh, I love that. When we do that, I love to just go back by the sound booth and look up and see the family of God up here at this altar. There's something real powerful about that. Amen?
Amen.
It promotes intimacy with the Lord, intimacy with each other. Amen? Doing it together. Well, if you have your Bibles, open them up to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 10 through 18. Wait a minute. You preached on that recently. You know what? It's good to put you in remembrance. It's good to put us all in remembrance. Why? Because we forget. And we need freshness. Amen? Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, say above all. When the word of God says above all, you might want to pay attention to what God's trying to tell you. Ready? Above all, the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful of this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, go down the road to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. We're teeing this thing up real nice, real nice. 2 Timothy, all my goofers out there, I mean golfers. 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may be able to please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. I love the Word of God. It's so rich. Amen? The Word of God refers to us Christians as soldiers. By the way, the title of this message, How to Be an Effective Soldier. How to Be an Effective Soldier. The Word of God refers to us Christians as soldiers. Because it refers to us as soldiers, this means that we are in a war on this earth. Amen? And it's not a war in the natural realm or in the seen realm, but rather this is a spiritual battle, and it takes place in the spirit realm. And Ephesians chapter 6 confirms that. Now listen to this. The definition of the word soldier is this: a person who serves in an army. The definition of the word soldier is a person who serves in an army. Now, as a Christian, we are called to fight this spiritual battle, not an earthly battle. But listen to this. What is army? What's an army? This is interesting. This is so rich spiritually. An army is defined as this: a large number of people typically formed or organized for a particular purpose. Let me say it again. An army is defined as a large number of people typically formed or organized for a particular purpose. So a soldier is a fighter, a warrior with a purpose attached to their assignment. Amen? A spiritual soldier must be very strategic and led by the Holy Spirit, focused on their assignment, on their calling, on their mission. Now, we are not to get entangled, it says, into the affairs of this life. Did you catch that? But rather to continually maintain a spiritual mindset or thought life from the Word of God. Now, listen to this. Our purpose as Christian soldiers is to advance the kingdom of God, to advance the will of God on this earth, to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you agree with that? Now, I want you to understand that we are spiritual soldiers in a spiritual army. In other words, listen to this. This is why it's so important to understand what the word army is. Say army. Remember, it's a group of people. In other words, the Holy Spirit said this immediately when I seen the definition of the word army. He said, you are not, my people are not called to be a lone ranger. We are not called because we're in an army. As the whole body of Christ, we're in God's army. Amen? And last time I checked, but one person is not an army. How many times do we see lone rangers trying to go at this thing? And what happens? They usually, bad things happen. The enemy usually gets an upper hand in their life. Amen? It just happens. But we as Christians must learn to unite and work together for the common goal of advancing the kingdom of God and not fighting against each other or sowing division in the army of God. Amen. Why do you think Satan fights so hard to sow division? Division, because it weakens us. It weakens us. It weakens us personally. It weakens us as a church. It weakens us as the whole army of God, as the body of Christ around the world. We need each other. The reason many Christians don't take this spiritual battle seriously is because they are too carnal. There's too many carnal believers that are more conscious about the flesh, more conscious about the affairs of this life than a spiritual mindset of what our main mission is on this earth. I don't know. Think about our military. If they lose focus on their mission, they're going to have a bad day out on the battlefield. Right? See, these people get more focused. Listen to me now. These Christians get more focused on the fruit of the problem than dealing with the root of the problem. They're focused on fruit and they ignore the root. They chop the fruit, another fruit comes up because there's still a root. They're not dealing with the root problem of what's going on. Have you ever heard of this phrase before? Out of sight, out of mind. Absolutely. Because Christians get more focused on things and situations in the natural realm, they neglect the warfare that's taking place in the invisible spiritual realm. You know, it's almost like this. It's like if I were to come up to you and I'm saying, dangling something here, and hey, I'm like, hey, look at this, and then I punch you with the other hand. That's a distraction. I got you distracted, and that's what the enemy does to us. He's holding up this problem, this person who rubbed you the wrong way, and then he punches you while you're looking at that distraction. Isn't that a good word picture? I got that this morning in the shower. I'm like, I'm going to write that down. Spiritually seeking, Speaking, we are in a season of very extreme spiritual warfare right now. Nearly every Christian that I come in contact with, I'm talking about believers that are really serious about their walk with God. Those who are really pressing in. I'm not talking about the backslidden. The backslidden are opening the door to the enemy, right? It's a field day for the enemy. But I'm talking about those who are really serious about going higher. Those who are real serious about going deeper into the Word of God and with God. They are experiencing a lot of resistance from the kingdom of darkness. Anybody in here? You feel it. You feel that resistance. Say resistance. Oh, yeah. Well, listen, that's not taking place in the natural realm. That's a spiritual battle that's taking place. I believe with all my heart that we're going to see the greatest outpouring of God's Spirit than we've ever seen before. Not just in this church, but around the world. Amen? So because Satan, listen to this, because Satan wants to be like God, Isaiah 14, he said, I will be like the Most High. He will increase his attacks on the things that God is trying to do. And he is a counterfeiter. Say counterfeiter. The devil's going to try to counterfeit everything. For every blessing that God has, there's a counterfeit from the kingdom of darkness. We need to be alert. Amen? The enemy will always promote an evil version of what God wants to do. Why? He's trying to distract you. Come on, somebody. So we must be sober and vigilant of the fact that we are spiritual soldiers in the kingdom of God. We are soldiers in the army of the living God. So today, I want to give you a few keys about how to be an effective soldier in God's army. Are you ready? Number one, to be an effective soldier in God's army, you must know who your enemy is. You imagine a soldier going out and doesn't know who's the enemy. Who am I supposed to attack? Who am I supposed to? Come on. If we're going to be an effective soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ and God's army, we need to know who our enemy is. So 1 Peter 5:8 says this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, say adversary, your adversary, the devil, walks around or about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, be sober. What does that mean? It means to be spiritually alert. Wake up. Don't be deceived. Have discernment to identify when the enemy is coming against you. Right? It might not be your spouse. It might be someone behind your spouse. No, I'm serious. Are you following me? That's just a practical example I wanted to give real quick. The Word of God goes on to call the devil our adversary, our opponent, our enemy. So that means then the enemy, listen to me, the enemy is trying to cause adversity. Say adversity. Adversity in our life. Listen to the definition of the word adversity. Are you ready for this? Adversity is defined as difficulties or misfortune. Difficulties or misfortune. And John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. He's coming to make your life, come on, difficult. He wants to make your life difficult. And it says, seeking whom he may devour. Or in other words, devouring those Christians who aren't sober, who aren't vigilant, who aren't spiritually alert. Devouring those who lack knowledge, who lack discernment from the Word of God. Those are the Christians that Satan is able to devour. That isn't talking to the unbeliever. The devil already has them. Those people are children of the devil. You get it? You understand what I'm saying? The ones he's talking about whom he may devour, it's talking about Christians. The moment you got born again, you got put on hell's most wanted list. You ever walk into a post office and you've seen the FBI's most wanted list? Well, there's a hell's most wanted list. And the moment you got born again, your name got added to that list. Satan and demonic spirits, they've done a great job of going undercover and operating freely in the lives of Christians. And not only operating in the lives, individual lives of others, but those believers are then unable to effectively help others that are struggling. You see, it's a domino effect. Say domino effect. If the enemy can't get you to quit, if he can get you to quit, if the enemy can get you to quit, that affects more people that you're supposed to minister to. Are you following me? So don't think, if you're, you know, when you're pulling back from your calling, when you're pulling back, don't just think, oh yeah, I'm going to pull back. I'm just going to take a rest. No, now people that you had an assignment to reach won't be reached like they should. It's a domino effect. Satan knows this. This is the big picture. See, when we get into a battle, we zoom in and we're like this. And we're so focused. Are you following me? We're so focused on this thing. In fact, I can't even read these words because they're all blurry right now. But if you'll take a step back, things get a little clearer. You zoom out and you can see what the enemy's trying to do. So if the enemy can get you to quit, the enemy knows that it's not just you, but it's a multiplication of people that won't be reached. How are we supposed to be ambassadors or representatives for the Lord Jesus Christ and do greater works, according to John 14:12, if we don't even know or can't discern who we're battling against? Go to Acts 10:38. Some of y'all are really looking at the paper real close. And things, that's why things look so confusing to you. Things are so blurry. I can't make sense out of anything. Pull it away. Step back. Get a bigger picture of what's going on here. Amen? Acts 10:38. It says, it's a very popular verse, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Now, how can we do the works of Jesus as Christians on this earth if we ignore the very enemy that Jesus confronted every day in his earthly ministry on this earth? Jesus confronted the enemy constantly in his 3 years of earthly ministry on this earth. And so if Jesus had to confront the enemy, we're probably going to have to as well. So why are we ignoring the enemy? Why are we putting blinders on? Why aren't we taking a step back? Why are we just dealing with the fruit of things and not going for the spiritual root? Pluck that root up. Amen? But listen to this. How can some Christians take Satan and the kingdom of darkness seriously if you're allowing your children or yourself to partake of demonic things? Right? I mean, you're just, you know, whatever Hollywood's dumping in your mouth, dumping through your eye gates, dumping through your ear gates, you're just letting it come in, participating with that stuff. How can you even be effective against the enemy in the kingdom of darkness? All that is doing, when you allow your kid to look at that stuff and partake of that, when you partake of it, you want to know what's going on? This is exactly what's going on. You are desensitizing yourself and you're desensitizing your children to the kingdom of darkness. You're making them think that it's just fun and games. It's just a cartoon. Hello? So how can some Christians take Satan seriously? Listen to this. How can some Christians take Satan seriously if they go to a church where they never talk about spiritual warfare or the enemy? You know, there are some churches that will never talk about this topic because it's too controversial. But you know what? If I'm going to make you a disciple and you're a soldier for Christ, I'm here to train you up to know who your enemy is and to come against him effectively. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 says something very, very interesting. It says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. It's a very simple biblical principle. If you're ignorant or lacking knowledge of Satan's devices to come against you, to come against your children, to come against your family, he and the and demonic spirits, they will get an advantage over you. Now, most of the time, you're dealing with demonic spirits that are coming against you. It's going to be one in a trillion if you ever deal with Satan himself, Lucifer himself. Are you following me? Demons do his bidding. Satan is just one individual. You get it? But there's many, many demons, all right, that do his bidding. So you're fighting against demonic spirits, most likely, right? Listen to this. In Hosea 4:6, God said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. I say it all the time. I want to say it again. Ignorance is not bliss in the spiritual realm. It's lethal. It'll hurt you. It'll cause you to suffer loss in your life, in areas of your life, okay? Let me just ride this little soapbox on the churches here. I've heard Christians use the excuse, well, I feel more comfortable in a non-spirit-filled church. Okay, well, we're talking about the Holy Spirit here. When we're talking spirit-filled, we're talking about the Holy Ghost. And you're saying you feel more comfortable in a church where the Holy Ghost isn't given place? What? Think about that, right? First of all, your comfort level should not be a part of determining what church you go to. It just shouldn't. You better go to a church where the Word of God is being taught, the full Word of God. Amen? And where the full Word of God is being taught, and very important, where the Holy Spirit's able to move and flow freely in our services. So, you know, if you're uncomfortable with those truths from the Word of God, you need to be stretched. You need to have your mind renewed. You're a perfect candidate for going to that Spirit-filled church. Amen? And it's not always comfortable. That mind-renewing thing is not always comfortable, but we're not called to be comfortable. We're called to be soldiers for Christ. We're called to be disciples, learners, disciplined ones for Jesus Christ. Another reason some people give is that they were raised in a certain denomination and they're just kind of stuck in there. I was raised in a denominational church, and at 20 I felt like I was an Amish boy leaving the Amish people. I mean, what can I say? Breaking Amish, right? Is what, no, but you understand. When you're raised in certain traditions, sometimes you feel that pressure where you got to stay there, right? But you got to come to the point and realize this. Maybe everything that you were taught in that denominational church is not biblical. Oh, that's a hard pill to swallow, isn't it? So you need to get planted in a church where you can grow spiritually. All right, and some that are listening to me, maybe online, wherever, you've been feeding on the milk of the Word only for years and not eating the nutritious meat of the Word, and it literally has stunted your spiritual growth as a Christian. All right, so study the Word of God for yourself. Don't ride on mommy and daddy's spiritual coat strings, because that excuse won't fly on Judgment Day. Amen? And if you're not motivated enough to seek the truth of God's Word on your own, well, then you got to really question your sincerity and dedication. Are you really being a disciple for Jesus Christ then? Amen? But each and every one of us is responsible and expected by God to search out the Word of God. Do you agree with that? We are to know it. We are to proclaim it. And the Word of God even says this, that you should be so skilled in the Word of God, ready for this? That you should be a teacher of it, not just Pastor James. If someone has a question about a simple truth, you should be able to teach someone about that truth, whatever it is. Divine healing, deliverance, Holy Spirit baptism, praying in tongues, gifts of the Spirit. I say those because a lot of those topics, there's a real line drawn in denominations and other churches, right? But if the Word of God tells us in 1 Corinthians 14:39 to not forbid tongues, why are so many Christians attending a church that forbids it? I see the devil's fingerprints all over that thing. I mean, it's really a blatant thing, right? Because these things, the gifts of the Spirit are given to benefit and profit the body of Christ. Amen? To build us up. So if you're going to be an effective soldier for God, you need to be strengthened by not only consistently feeding on the milk of the Word, the basics, but you also need to feed on the meat of the Word. What's the meat? It's the deeper truths. Say deeper truths. Deeper waters. Amen? All right, so number two, to be an effective soldier in God's army, you must be obedient to your captain. You must be obedient to your captain. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Hallelujah. Second Corinthians 10. Verses 3 through 6, how to be an effective soldier for Jesus Christ on this earth. See, there's a lot of soldiers in our army and our military forces, but they might not be effective, right? They might have that title as a soldier, but I wouldn't want them in battle with me. Hello! If someone's going to go into battle with me, I want them to be trained. I want them to know what's up. I want them to have discernment. Amen? Look at this. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ. Say obedience. Obedience. Got to obey your captain. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. It says bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. In other words, it's going to take discipline. Say discipline. To be an effective soldier in God's army, you must be a disciple. Not a disciple in name only, a true disciple that actually puts an effort in to their walk with God. Amen? Listen to me. It will pay dividends in your life. Again, that resistance you're feeling, maybe it's a boss at work, maybe whatever, there's a situation holding back a blessing. Listen, it's a spiritual battle that's going on. This is not a natural battle. This is a spiritual battle, all right? So being an effective soldier is not just in our actions, but the Holy Spirit said this. Are you ready? Being an effective soldier is a mindset. It's a mindset. It all begins in the thought life, amen? That is why the enemy attacks our thought life, because now, if this is a mindset, you got to go in and know you're a soldier. You got to go in knowing that you're invincible when you're going in with the Holy Ghost. That's a mindset. Say mindset. So a mindset, then, that means it's dealing with your identity. It's dealing with who you really are. The enemy is trying to make us have an unstable mindset. He wants us to be double-minded, filled with doubt and unbelief. He's trying to shake you. Listen to me. Even battles, even warfare, okay, in the natural, it starts with a mind game. It's a mind game, right? Peace through strength. It's a mindset. Why do you think no one wants to mess with America with Trump at the helm? Because he has the mindset of a warrior. Amen? And no one wants to mess with him because they know if they try, he means what he says. He's going to do it. Listen to me. Trump knows his identity very well. Are you following me? That's why even Putin and all these dictators are backing down. Again, being an effective soldier begins with a mindset of faith, believing what the Word of God, what the Word of God says about you, about who you are in Christ. Our thought life, now, so when you get that mindset going, you start knowing it and you meditate on it from the Word of God in your thought life, all right? Then that's going to affect your actions. How we live our life on this earth is directly connected to our thought life, right? You hear me talk about the thought life all the time, nothing new. But we need to be reminded of this thing. Again, do you know if a soldier goes into a battle with thoughts of defeat, he will be defeated. Absolutely. You go into a battle, you know, a boxer goes into a match, a wrestler goes in and feeling defeated, guess what's going to happen? They're going to live out that prophecy. It's a mindset. It's a mindset. And they will not, you will not perform well in this spiritual battle if your mindset is not based on the Word of God and who you are in Jesus Christ. See, that person's defeated before going into the battle. See, Satan and demonic spirits, they know the importance of the thought life. Sad to say, they know it better than Christians. They know how effective that everything starts and ends in the thought life. And that's why the enemy comes against us so hard in that thought life. Because that's the battlefield of the mind. Joyce Meyer book, anybody read it? Powerful book. It's a battlefield that takes place in the mind. The enemy will throw every thought into your mind, any kind of evil thought, discouraging thought, and the Word of God calls those kind of thoughts fiery darts. Fiery darts. Now, what's interesting about fiery darts is that's interesting because a fiery dart comes into your thought life. And what the enemy's trying to do, it's called fiery darts because it comes in and it lands. And if you hold on to that fiery dart in your thought life too long, guess what? A big fire breaks out and it starts to spread. Now it starts to affect more areas of your life now. That's why you have how many seconds?
17.
You have 17 seconds to take that grenade, to take that fiery dart and get rid of it and cast it down. And now, so the Word of God, what else do we have that will quench that fiery dart? The shield of faith. The shield of faith. So what you do with those thoughts will determine if you're going to go into victory or if you're going to experience defeat in your life. I can't. You got to have a positive mindset from the Word of God. You have to get rid of all negativity because all you're doing is giving the enemy place in your life. You got to shift from negative to positive based on the Word of God. You got to do it, or else nobody can help you. Are you following me? There's been people over the years. You try to help them. I mean, you have 20 sessions. Maybe more. And they're just as negative as they were the first day. And then finally it's like, I'm not available. I got to go walk the cat. got to go walk the badger. Anything. But please, someone make progress on this. If you can't shift your negative mindset, it's over. It's done. Pastor can't help you. Nobody can. That's why it's a battlefield in your mind. It's you. Only you can change that. Amen? But seriously, it does get frustrating. There needs to be some change. I mean, after 20 sessions? Right? No. We love everyone, but seriously. But seriously, right? Let's try to make an effort and some progress, right? Oh. So many times Christians take hold of those fiery darts and they meditate on them instead of casting them down. And that's when you will get into trouble. That's what Satan desires to happen. That's why it's a fiery dart. Notice it's just not a dart that targets one area. They will always put something in your thought life that if you take hold of it, it's going to spread like wildfire to every area of your life. And we need that shield of faith to quench those fiery darts. So in other words, the thoughts that the enemy gives you are going to be coming against your faith. Did you catch that? The thoughts the enemy gives you will always try to get you to question your faith. Did God really say healing belongs to me? Come on, somebody. Amen. Did God really say this? Yes, he did. Did God really say he wants me to be blessed and prosperous? Yes, he did. Notice it's an argument to cast down arguments. So the enemy always wants to start an argument with you in your thought life. And then, so the enemy throws in that argument. And then when you take hold of it, now you're starting to argue with yourself. You know what that's called? Double-mindedness. James talks about it. Now you start to argue with yourself. You want to know what you look like? A dog chasing his own tail. You do. That you look like a dog. You ever see that? Isn't that crazy? When we had a dog, I'd show them the tail, and they would just go round and round, and then it would just drop from being so dizzy. And the same thing happens to Christians. We twist and turn, all, and then finally you just drop because you're dizzy spiritually. But there's an argument. You got to settle the argument in your mind right now. Settle it. Because if that argument is still active, your faith is not active. For your faith to be active, the argument needs to be settled. And there's only one way to settle it. The promises in the Word of God. You either believe them or you don't. It's very simple. It's very simple. So, you know, listen, even people who commit very terrible acts on this earth, so they've taken hold of Satan's fiery darts, right? Ted Bundy, you remember him? The guy who was a murderer? You know, he said that, a minister asked him, when did this all start, Ted? Now his answer was this, when I got into pornography, things got deeper and deeper, and these thoughts started coming to my head about wanting to murder women. It got deeper and deeper. Listen, he wasn't fighting the argument. He was starting to agree with the argument. And it went deeper, and it went deeper, and deep. Listen to me. The enemy wants to take you so far down. But you need to stop that. And guess what? Your willpower is stronger than the enemy's power. Because the enemy can't force you to do anything. It's a matter of you're agreeing with the enemy. But you need to get out of agreement with the enemy and agree with the Lord. Agree with the Word of God. Amen? You're the only one that can settle that argument in your own mind. That makes sense? So all of these things that evil people have done, you know, they've given place to the fiery darts of the enemy. And all of those acts, anybody, murderers, rape, you name it, all of these evil individuals, it can all be traced back to one thing, an out-of-control thought life. Out-of-control thought life, all right? Many people who have committed evil acts like that, they say that they heard a voice tell them to do it, or they've had that an evil compulsion. They heard a voice. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. Whose voice do you think they were hearing? A demon's voice, right? Some of these evil things, I mean, it's straight from the pits of hell, right? So go with me to Joshua 1:8 real quick. I want to put in your remembrance, Joshua 1:8. How to be an effective soldier for Jesus Christ. Get control of your thought life. And obey the captain. Obey the word of God. Obey the Holy Spirit. Amen? Joshua 1:8. I love this verse. This book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then, you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So obviously, meditating on the word and speaking the word and acting on the word will bring you prosperity in your life. How many of you want prosperity? There's the steps right there in the operating manual from our Creator. Isn't that simple? Isn't he good to put that in there? Isn't it good that we're not in the dark about everything? It's right here. Amen? The law of meditation will work for good, and it will work for evil. Just like the law of faith can be used for good, and it can be used for evil. So you got to be obedient to your captain, the Lord Jesus Christ, cast down evil thoughts and every high thing that exalts itself against the word of God. And make sure, please, make sure your shield of faith is up at all times. Don't ever lower your shield of faith. Don't lower it. Keep it up. Say, I'm going to keep the shield of faith up at all times. 2 Timothy 2:4 said this. It says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So that is talking about being entangled with evil and worldliness. You know, want to know what that? No, where do you get entangled? This isn't talking about physically. It's primarily talking about getting entangled with the evil and worldliness in your thought life. Don't get entangled in your thought life with things that are going to pull you from your purpose as a soldier for Jesus Christ. Because the spiritual realm, that's where this whole battle is taking place. Listen, let me let you in on a little secret. Your thought life is spiritual. Your thought life, your spirit man is like an antenna in contact with the spirit realm at all time. And you're picking up radio stations in the spirit all the time, and they come through as word pictures, thoughts. These are spiritual things that are happening. Are you understanding? Your imagination, that's your spirit man. All right, so and out of that entanglement in our thought life, in actions and spoken words, if we get entangled in evil in our thought life, that's when evil actions and spoken words manifest from that place. So if you are entangled with the things of this life, it says here that you are not pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you want to please Jesus? I do too. Amen. And it says entangled. If you're entangled in these things, the affairs of this life. Okay, listen. Entangled, listen to this. Entangled carries the notion of being in bondage to something, listen, or making an idol of something in your life. That's what entangled means. It means you're wrapped up in it. You're in bondage to something. You made an idol. You've taken something other than God and his word, and you exalted it above God. You're entangled. You've made an idol of something in your life. Say idol. All right. So it's possible to be so worldly minded that you're no spiritual good to the kingdom of God. A lot of times I hear Christians say, oh, you can be so spiritually minded that you're no good. I don't know. Every time I hear them say that opposite, something just checks. You want to know why? Because everything on this earth, the root of everything, come on, is spiritual. I beg to differ. I believe the Word of God says, you go ahead, read through Proverbs. Everything is spiritual. Say everything is spiritual. So we don't want to be so worldly minded that we're no spiritual good. Amen. We want to be filled with spiritual things so we can be good on this earth and do good things and be blessed. Amen. If you are more worldly minded than spiritually minded as a Christian, that means this. Ready? You have disqualified yourself from being an effective soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ. You have disqualified yourself from being effective against Satan and evil spirits on this earth. Why? Because it's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle, right? These people who say, oh, wow, I'm getting attacked with evil spirits. I got to burn some sage. Give me a break. You have your sage. I'm going to use the name of Jesus and the word of the living God. The sword of the Spirit. Amen? Amen? So you need spiritual strategies from the Word of God. Say spiritual strategies. When you're more consumed with worldly things, you will be more fleshly conscious at the expense of being dull spiritually. You will have less discernment when your focus is primarily on the natural things. Now, of course, there's things that obviously we have to accomplish in the natural. I'm not stupid, right? My point is this. Always keep the spiritual aspect at the center of your life. Even, like I said, during your workday, take time. You know, you get busy on your job and all that. Take some points in the day where you simply just stop and you focus on a scripture, on a Bible verse. Focus on Jesus, something spiritual from the Word of God, just to shift back for a moment back into the spiritual mindset. Amen? Trust me, I guarantee you if you do that, it will make a difference in your day. All right? Have you ever been to the point in your Christian walk where you were living so fleshly that reading the Word of God just seemed boring? Prayer was definitely not a desire or a priority. Has anybody ever been to that place? I have. I'm a pastor. Hello. I have. But that's why we are not to entangle ourselves with worldly things, because it will affect, come on, your spiritual appetite. It'll affect your spiritual appetite. Because the very things that we need to survive in this spiritual battle, you're going to start to not make them a priority in your life. It's the very things we need to win this spiritual battle, all right? So listen to this. Your faith in the Word of God and excitement for Jesus at that point goes out the window. Hebrews 11:6 says this. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you're not pleasing God, listen to me, I can promise you this, you will not be victorious in this spiritual battle on this earth. If you're going to be victorious in the spiritual battle, you got to please God. He's the big guy. Are you following me? He's the one. All right? He's the captain. All right? So you want to make sure you're on God's good side. I don't know how more elementary I can say this, right? So remember, if you're going to be victorious in this spiritual battle, we need to make sure that we're going into this battle on God's side. And we need to be on God's side. God needs to be on our side. And how do we do that? By staying in faith in the Word of God. By pressing in. By building that intimacy with Him. Amen? So we must stay faithful to the new covenant that we have through faith in Jesus. And by the way, remember, covenant is a what? It's a two-way street. You do your part, God does His part. Amen? All right, so 2 Timothy 2:4 says that we are not to entangle ourselves with the affairs of this life so that we can please him. We want to please God. Say, I want to please God. Don't you? Doesn't that make you feel good when you know you're pleasing God? It brings peace into your life, doesn't it? There's just, you want to know why? You want to know why you feel that peace? Because that's what you were created to do. When you have a lack of peace, it means that you're worrying about something or doing something that was never in the will of God for your life. Did you hear me? When there's a lack of peace, it means you're worrying about something, you're fretting about something, or you're doing something that's not in the will of God. The fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter. If you're pleasing God, if you're really in right standing, there's going to be a peace in your heart. In your heart. Amen? How many of you want that peace? That's a great feeling to have peace. Amen? So if you're entangled in the affairs of this life, you're not pleasing God. It's impossible to be entangled with evil in this evil world system and have faith. And that's why you're not pleasing to God, all right? So you need to stay in faith. We need to keep pleasing God, all right? Now, number three, my last point, and I'm done. To be an effective soldier, you must endure hardness or hardship. You must be smart and have godly wisdom and take the warfare seriously. Oh, say endure. 2 Timothy 2:3 says a good soldier for Jesus Christ will endure hardship. A good soldier will endure. They'll stay pressing in. They're not going to leave the battle. They're not going to leave their wingman. Come on, somebody. Are you following me? A good soldier stays in the battle no matter what. Quitting is not an option. A good soldier will never give up, even when the attacks don't seem to let up. You ever been there? Man, it's beating you, but you stand your ground, amen? Stand your ground. I'll promise you this, the attacks will not last forever. Victory will come if you stay solid on the Word of God. If you keep Jesus Christ at the center of your life, I promise you, the attacks will not last forever. It will come to an end. You must be ruthless against the enemy. No backing down. Ever. No backing. Say, I'm not backing down. Say, I'm a good soldier. I endure hardness. Victory is mine. In the name of Jesus. And you need a hatred for Satan and demon spirits and for the entire kingdom of darkness that will motivate you to take action, to be persistent against them. Stop always being on the defensive. You need to run after them. You need to chase them out of your house. You need to chase them out of your marriage. Chase them out of your family. Amen? Stop going like this. No, you need to take the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and you need to charge right at them in the name of Jesus. The only way you're going to make up ground is being on the offensive against them. You hear what I'm saying? If you're only on the defensive, you're not gaining ground. You're just staying where you're at. But you need to be ruthless against them. You need to come after them with the Word of God and prayer, in the commands. Use your authority in Christ. When you come after them, that's the only way the kingdom of God is going to gain ground. Come on. You need to charge after them with everything you have. And to be able to do that, you need to have an attitude against them. You need to hate the enemy. Hate what he's done to your family. Hate what he's done to your marriage. Hate what he's done to your children. Hate what he's done to your finances. Come on, somebody. And you need to just go all out, because the enemy is counting on you to just stand there like a little wimp. He's, oh, please, please, devil, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. No, 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 no. See, the moment you take get boldness and you take your and use your authority in the name of Jesus and the word of God against them, that's when they get into confusion. They start getting confused. You send confusion in the enemy's camp. Amen? And that's the only way you're going to gain ground for the kingdom of God in your life. So, the authority that Jesus has given Christians isn't any good. It's useless unless you walk in it with boldness. Amen? Church, it's time to truly be a faithful ambassador and effective soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. Let's stand up in this place. Prayer team, come on down. We need to be effective soldiers. Don't back down. Come on. You need to get some boldness on the inside of you. You need to preach to yourself. Get some motivation. Amen? You need to encourage yourself in the Lord. And you need to understand that battle is not fleshly battle. It's not against that person. There's something behind that person. Amen? There's something going on in the spirit realm, and you need to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, show me what's going on in the realm of the spirit and how to come against it effectively. Now, maybe there's someone in this place, you've never made Jesus Christ Lord of your life. This is the part where you enlist in God's army. If you've never enlisted in God's army by making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, come on up and pray with one of our prayer team members. Now, maybe there's someone in here, you've been a Christian, but you went, come on, here it is, you went AWOL. Absent without leave. You went AWOL apart from God. And today is the day where you're turning yourself back into God, and you say, I want to rededicate my life today. Amen? Come forward and pray with one of our prayer team members. Maybe you've never received the Holy Spirit baptism. Well, this is the part where you get spiritually equipped to advance the kingdom of God with power. If you've never received the Holy Spirit baptism, get down here and let them pray over you. Amen? To receive the Holy Spirit baptism. Now, maybe there's someone here, you need a healing emotionally, physically. Some of you need to go to the hospital. There's some Christians in here that you're so wounded emotionally and spiritually that you're making a mess out of everything. Everywhere you go, you're making a mess. And today, you need to come forward for prayer, and you need to come to the spiritual hospital to get those wounds bandaged up and to receive some healing today so you can truly get back and become an effective soldier on that battlefield. Amen? Awesome. Everyone, thank you so much for coming today. What's going on this week? Is there anything special? Same old schedule. Oh, Sunday is the Justified Quartet. Saturday at 7 p.m. Come on out. We're going to have a great time with that. Amen. Visitors, thank you so much for coming today. Come on back. Next time you're not a visitor. Sorry. All right, guys. Have a great week. You know where to find me. Love you all. And become an effective soldier for Jesus. Amen.